You are listening to the Health Hack Podcast, powered by Lumen and hosted by myself, Caroline Pierce. As an athlete, sports scientist, and sports presenter, I am passionate about health and how we can unlock the skills to hack our full potential. Each episode, I'll be joined by a leader in the health and well-being world to learn how they've come to understand their body and turned that knowledge into power that could help you too. Today's guest is a three-time NFL All-Pro linebacker playing for the San Diego Chargers and Buffalo Bills during his football career. He's gone on to become quite the entrepreneur since, with his own MMA promotion and sports clothing line. And this man's an absolute beast in the gym. I cannot wait to pick his brain on all things training and nutrition. It is Sean Lights Out Merriman. Welcome to the Health Hack Podcast. Sean, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing really good, thank you. Even better for talking to yourself. And, you know, I want to kick this off by asking you a question that some people may know, some may not, but the nickname Lights Out, I can see it behind you there as well. Where does this come from? Because there's a dance that goes with it as well, right?
So my sophomore year in high school, we were playing a football game and I knocked out four players in one game.
In one game.
And after the game, I had, you know, about 20 or 25 students come run up to me and said, man, you knocked those guys lights out. So I looked at him. I said, yeah, you know what? Call me Lights Out. And that name stuck with me. I got to school Monday and everybody's like, you know, calling me Lights Out. I went home that day and I begged my mom to let me get a Lights Out tattoo with a hand switch and a light switch, a hand and a light switch on my right forearm. And initially she said no. She didn't want me to have any tattoos. I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
But after 2 weeks of me being annoying and persistent and asking her over and over again, she let me get it. And so that's when the Lights Out dance came from, by me flicking the light switch on and off.
I love it. You know, it's so funny. My boyfriend's a huge fan of yours. He's a huge football fan. And he actually did a demonstration of your dance on me yesterday. This has become your entire brand now as well, hasn't it? The business, things you've gone on to do as well. And like I say, I can see it behind you as well. And it's an identity of yours. And I think it's really the basis of your training as well, and what we've seen you do on the field, and we see you doing your training, right? You know, that power, that athleticism that you have.
Yeah, you know, initially it started off as, you know, kind of a nickname, but you know, over the course of the years, and they kind of getting more of a national, more national recognition, it became a lifestyle, right? Like I was living like this Lights Out lifestyle where I was lifting weights all the time. That was, you know, on Sundays for those four quarters, I was mean on the field. I had the blue mohawk and, you know, I'll go and train, you know, just always going 110 miles an hour. And that was just me. I was just always willing to go further than anyone else. And also, too, it was one of those things like you can't have a nickname like Lights Out and slack off. Like I never had a chance to slack off because somebody was always waiting to, you know, knock me out or do something against me or be stronger than me, be faster than me, because, you know, I came with such a persona and such a, you know, just a force when I walk anywhere that I've always had to be on my toes.
Yeah, you got to live up to that moniker, so to speak. You know, we've just obviously had the 2022 Super Bowl here in Los Angeles, LA Rams obviously taking the win. And I look at these players and the number of weeks you have to be at the top of your game and the intensity in terms of physically and mentally. And, you know, so it's great to talk to someone that's been there and done it, trained and competed at the top of your game. How do you prepare yourself week in, week out to play at that intensity? It's not like you're playing tiddlywinks or you're going off for a run around the track. You know, it's so physical.
It is very physical. And the season is very long. And so people forget about that. You really only have about 2 months off a year where you're not doing much. Then the rest of the time, you're in mini camps, in off-season practices, off-season workouts, and then you jump right back into training camp. And so, and I say this all the time, that first day of training camp, you're never 100% healthy, right? Like you got a hand that's hurting, a wrist, lower back, a knee, shoulder, finger, something is, you know, is always bothering you for those 7 months of the season. And then that's when, you know, you got to learn how to bring it each and every day, you know, like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're sore and you're like looking at your legs, like how in the hell am I going to make it to practice today? How am I going to get through the day? And so that just, you know, goes along with just having a mental capacity and mental toughness to be able to go out there and do something like that day in and day out.
How much of the training was mental then? You know, when you were, so how long have you been retired? What, about 10 years now or something like that?
2013, so.
Almost, yeah. So how much of the training back then was mental? You know, like mind therapy, mind training as much as the physical?
It was a lot mental. Because the thing is, when you get to that level, right, to play in the NFL, the physical part, everybody has it. I mean, everybody's strong, everybody's big, everybody is athletic and explosive and just freakish athletes. Like even the guys that wasn't on the field and didn't get much playing time, they were like sitting on the sideline and still freakish athletes. And so I think that when you start talking about the different tiers of elite players, it really comes down to the mindset. It's a mindset thing. And which guys are willing to do more, which guys are willing to play through pain, which guys are willing to find a way to get over that hump. Right. Because I don't care who you are. You can be the greatest athlete, the God's gift from earth. Like you got a point where you hit that wall. You hit that wall. And then the elite guys find a way to jump over it and then keep going. You know, and that to me is what would separate from the good from the great players.
Do you think that's inbuilt in you? Is that something innate or do you think it can be trained? Do you think anyone can learn to sort of push past that point where it's uncomfortable and it's difficult? You know, everyday people as well, when they're facing obstacles for their own training for fitness.
Yeah, I mean, look, you really don't start to work and see what you can really do or see who you are or see how far you can take yourself until you push past that threshold. Like everybody gets to that point and then that point decides who you are and who you're going to be. And so some people shut it down and get to that point and say, I can't do it anymore. It's too tough. I don't want to do it anymore. It's not worth it. They find an excuse. And those other people say, no, we're going. We're doing it no matter what. And they keep moving forward. And that to me, whether you're on a football field or fitness, it's like, you know, when I go and you plan and or you're running, you get to a point like I'm tired, right? I'm sore. I'm exhausted. And then like that extra last couple of sprints is where you actually have that breakthrough or that last workout or, you know, whatever that last thing is when you had that breakthrough is when you find out who you really are.
Yeah. In terms of the physical, you were known for your like hard hits and your intense defense. Just talk us through, what did your training look like at that time? So your strength and conditioning training, the stuff you used to do in the gym, because I've seen some crazy stuff from tire flipping to bags being swung from side to side drills. You know, what did that kind of routine look like for you?
Well, when I was a player, I trained totally different, right? I was training because I was going against 350-pound offensive linemen. Or you were going up against a fullback that was, you know, 5'11", 6'1", 255 pounds of and 8% body fat. Like these guys are just animals, right? So you're training your body for that. So it's a lot of heavyweight pounding, a lot of heavy squat, heavy bench, heavy hanging, power clean. Those things in order to sustain like your body breaking down over the course of a season. Right. I mean, you had to train that way. Like there was no other way. Your body just would not be able to take it if you didn't have enough to do that. Stacking 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day. You're drinking a gallon, almost 2 gallons of water a day because you're constantly sweating out and doing things. So that was, you know, as a player. Now it's more of, you know, being agile, being mobile, having the flexibility. I'm really big in the hot yoga now. Like I do a couple of days a week on top of my MMA training and stuff like that, because now it's about, you know, longevity, making sure it's about feeling good, right? You will always love to look good, but if you look good and you stiff and you can't get out of bed and you're sore constantly, it's not worth it.
That's really interesting. I was going to ask you, how's your training changed? How's that transition been from, you know, being a full-time athlete to obviously being incredibly fit still today, but training differently? And I think a lot of principles you can take from sport, can't you? There's a lot of things you probably still do. You've learned, your body knows how to do those things, but you adjust it to every day. And probably what you do now is more akin to what, you know, your everyday athlete, if you like, or fitness enthusiasts listening would want to replicate. So you mentioned hot yoga. I love that. I think more and more athletes are doing that as well. Do you feel like your knowledge has improved even since your playing days as well of your body and how it responds to training?
Big time. I mean, I wish... You know, I jokingly say this, and I say it to a lot of guys that I played with or played against it in my era, in my time, that I wish I knew what I knew back then that I know now, right? Like, I didn't believe in dieting. Like, dieting was just like, okay, cool, it doesn't matter. I'm going to burn, you know, 2,000 calories a day or whatever, you know, so it doesn't matter, right? I'm going out there burning it off so I can eat pizza. You know, you could drink whenever you want to, drink soda. It didn't matter. I was doing whatever I wanted to do. But in actuality, if I knew that, you know, eating the right foods and eating at the right time and the right amounts would, you know, adjust my energy levels or help me sleep better or help me wake up feeling better and not sluggish, then, you know, I would have definitely changed it back then. I didn't have any meal prepping and stuff like, I mean, all these guys now, it's meal prepping. I had a chef, but my chef cooked like whatever I asked her to. It wasn't like
pancakes, burgers.
Oh yeah, it was like ribs. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I want some barbecue ribs today. I mean, it's whatever I wanted. And now, you know, I partnered with a company called Geo Meals. Mm-hmm. They do all my meal planning stuff now. I eat, you know, the appropriate time and then the right time. Like I'm cutting off what time I eat. So I'm not, you know, it's not disturbing how I sleep and how I wake up. You know, obviously the vitamins, the, you know, the flaxseed, the fish oils. I'm a big fan of like krill. I don't know if you heard of it before, of like krill oil. It's a really, really strong.
I have.
Yeah. Really, really, really strong fish oil. And so more of those things, because you want longevity in this, right? Like it's not a sprint. Like when I played, it was a sprint. It was like, I got to be as strong as I possibly can, as fast as I possibly can for the season. The season's coming up. Now it's just like, now it's a marathon. Like, can I work out 5-6 days a week still? Can I wake up feeling good? You know, am I flexible? And so my mindset changed. I do a bunch of circuit training now. I'm big on the circuit training because being busy, you know, you're working and got other stuff going on. Like, I like to get in and out of the gym between 45 minutes to an hour. Yeah. Like, I got to get it in, get out, and get my work in.
I think people assume that you need hours in the gym, and you don't do. If you're working effectively, 45 minutes to an hour, like you said, is perfect. And I can relate to what you're saying so much, because I was an athlete myself whose career ended early with injury. I track and field and bobsled. But at the time, my mentality was just, I'm going to work harder than anyone else. I'm going to push myself further than anyone else. And all I was thinking about was the next race, the next competition, not longevity, not my joints, not how I'm going to be in 10, 20 odd years. It was just, and it does switch, doesn't it? You then suddenly think about looking after your body in a different way. And all this knowledge that you've accrued since is fantastic. And I wish the same. I wish I knew the same during my competing days. I was just like, I'm burning calories, I can eat what I want, and not looking at the quality of those ingredients. But I'd say sports science has evolved so much, you know, in those 10 years or whatever anyway. Do you remember having any kind of tracking devices that they used with you for your training, your calories, your metabolism? Do you remember there being anything like that when you were actually playing?
Nope.
No.
Nope. And, you know, that's, to me, because everything's about data, right? I mean, everything is about data. It's about finding out, you know, what time your body reacts the best and what's the, you know, your muscles firing off at the right time. And there's so many different things out there for data now, that it's insane. And so, you know, a lot of, which is good because it's evolving, right? More athletes, are getting, knowledgeable about that kind of stuff. It would be nice to know, like, hey, you know, you need this amount of many reps in order to get here. You need this amount of much rest to do this. And so that data is very important. And we didn't have, I was not knowledgeable about any of that stuff. I think maybe the Fitbit or something started coming around, like the watches at the very end of my career. But that was about it.
Yeah, it's come so far. The sponsor of our podcast, Lumen, can track your metabolism in real time. So, you know, a lot of the fighters, the UFC fighters, are using it to say, am I in the fat burning zone? Can this help with my weight cut? You know, everyday people, like, well, I feel like I'm eating the right things, but am I actually in the fat burning zone? We have to get you one to try out, actually. You'll love it, because it sounds like you're really into all that science stuff. How aware are you of your metabolic health and your metabolism? Is that something that you sort of tap into and look to try and boost in any way?
I don't know. You know, I don't calorie count per se, because I do, I mean, I'm still hitting it pretty hard, like at least 5 days a week, and I'm still pretty active. So I know that if I don't, you know, eat the wrong things, or I eat the certain amount, like I believe in consistency, right? And the only way that I believe you should track every single thing you do is if you got a competition or something coming up, you have to do it. But I think people get so tied up in going like cold turkey style with anything, mm-hmm. right? Just like, I'm doing it this way, I'm going to be so strict. And it's really about consistency. right? If you're like eating, change, you don't have to go full on one way. Like, hey, just do a little bit, do a couple things better, right? Eat one meal less or replace it with this, eat at this time, you know, work out, do another day or two of cardio or nothing, you know. So it's just about consistency and having that, you know, you don't even have to work out 5-6 days a week. If you're getting a constant 3-4 days a week, and that's more than enough to stay in really good shape.
Consistency, I think, is underrated, should I say. I think, like you say, we look at, like I was saying earlier, you've got to do 2 hours in the gym, or I've got to eat so, so strict and I can't fall off, you know, track, etc. But, you know, it is just doing those things consistently. And in terms of how you like to eat, are you someone that's, you know, little and often, that, you know, that's kind of an older school of thought that, you know, we need to keep the fire burning, keep our metabolism revved up the whole time? Or do you subscribe more to that sort of intermittent fasting where you cut off your food at a certain time, maybe wait a little bit later to eat? What's your pattern look like?
Yeah, I try to stop eating by 8 o'clock. And this goes into finding more about your body and getting older, right? I mean, I noticed that my body reacted to certain foods different because I had tests done. Like if I eat this, then yeah, I might be allergic to this, or this might have some gluten. So I'm more in tune with my body. So I know if I stop, because I would wake up in the middle of the night. Well, it was my food digesting like in the middle of the night, and I just wake up and I wouldn't feel that great when I wake up. I wouldn't sleep as well. So I really started to look at that. I said, you know what, let me try this out. I found out everything I'm supposed to do, and I really cut off eating around 8 o'clock. And then I try to sleep at least 6-7 hours a night. And, you know, you wake up and I might have something very small before I go work out, but it's never a heavy meal or anything like that.
Yeah.
So you're looking at about 10 hours of, I guess you can call it somewhat fasting or something, right?
Yeah, you have an eating window and a fasting period that's a little bit more extended than if you were eating up until midnight. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people struggle with that. Like their midnight snacks and stuff like that, like, you know, a lot of people eat really late and then they go straight to sleep. Like, and I tell, but that's the worst thing you can do is eat a big meal and then go sleep.
If you were to describe your diet during the day, so you say you have a little something in the morning, sort of give us a little run through now. You know, you said when you were playing, it was like ribs and everything you wanted. But now, you know, as a almost like more in tune with your body, as you said, what does that diet look like through the day? Give us a run through.
Yeah. So I have this company called Geo Meals that, that I partner with because, and you know, like I got, a lot of people eat, especially when you're busy, you eat bad because you just eat whatever's around. And so if you're not meal prepping and making your meals and stuff like that, which I hate cooking, like I always hated cooking. So I had this company just to make me, you know, 3 meals a day. And then I'll have like a protein shake or something like that in between. But for my size, like my calorie intake is good. The food that I'm eating is pretty clean and I'm eating consistently. Because what'll happen is I'll get so busy and I'll go like 5-6 hours without eating. And you're not really technically supposed to do that. If you're supposed to be eating, I think, what, every 4 hours or so a day.
Yeah.
While you're up anyway.
Do you have treat meals or any vices that do you believe in that concept of like shocking your body?
Pizza. Pizza. I'm a sucker.
What topping?
Pepperoni pizza. I'm a sucker. Like one day a week, I'm getting pizza or wings. Like I'm going to have it. And two, that's, you know, you got to like reward yourself with something, right? Like you can't go I'm sure a lot of dietitians and people out here who really study this stuff and scientists will disagree what I'm about to say anyway, but it's helped me out a lot personally. You don't have to, you know, just eat perfect every single time, especially when you're working out 4, 5, 6 times a week, you know, like. I get it, the cold turkey stuff, and it feels really good mentally to know that you have the discipline to do it. But if you're cranking it out and you're still hitting it pretty hard, and you know you slip up and have some junk here and there, it's not going to necessarily kill you. It's the ones who don't want to go to the gym, right? Don't want to take the time, you know, going to gym strong for a week and then show back up for 3 or 4 weeks, right? It's to me personally, that's when you really got to watch what goes in your body.
Yeah. I think it's that idea of perfectionism, isn't it? And if we're not always perfect, we feel like, it, you know, it's always like, oh, it's ruined now. I'm just going to spend the next 5-6 days eating whatever. Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever fallen off track with your diet or your training and, you know, had to really dig deep to get back on track? Or have you always been someone that's, you know, it's been part of your life and that's never changed?
I don't feel right. I don't feel normal if I don't work out. So like even when, you know, I'm traveling a lot, last month I was on the plane 9 times, you know, and I was traveling a lot. So the first thing I'll do is find a gym to get something in, right? Because like we said, it's really all about consistency. It's not about, I don't go in the gym and just all out kill it every single day. You know, this morning I had a bunch of stuff, you know, talking to you so I'm going in. Okay, cool. I got 45 minutes, you know, knocked out a kettlebell circuit, did this, did that, you know, some burpees, you know, 15 minute run. And by the time I left, I was drenched, but I got something in. And then, you know, when I have more time during the day, I'll go and get that hour, 15 minute workout. Yeah. Right.
That's motivating me to get in the gym after this, actually, hearing you talk about your session. Yeah. But what would you say to those people that maybe struggle to find the motivation, or a lot of people use lack of time or too busy as an excuse? Well, you know, I've got this, that, kids, meetings, whatever. Like, how would you, you know, advise people to get in that bite-sized training or make sure they have the right food to fuel themselves properly?
Everybody has time, right? I mean, either you're watching TV, you're talking to a friend on the phone, you know, kind of procrastinating, lollygagging during the day. Like you got an hour. Like I don't care, the most busy, and I know a bunch of big CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, moguls, they have an hour, right? This operating and running multi-billion dollar companies, they got an hour during that day. So nothing you could be doing is as busy as that. And then these guys got families and kids, and they some of them still find a way to get an hour in. It's just a matter of where you spend your hour at. Right. What do you spend your hour to do? And the next biggest part is just getting there. Like just go. Like even if you go in there and you go in there and BS around a little, just get up and go, because that's the hardest thing to do. You know, people put their workout clothes on, sit on the couch for a little bit, and then before you take a couple calls, take a nap, and before you know it, they say, you know what, I'll go tomorrow. Yeah, that always happened. I'll go tomorrow.
Maybe motivation isn't strong enough. You know, when you're competing and playing as you were, you have that motivation. And, you know, you have to switch into what's my motivation now? And you talked about longevity and all that kind of thing. How would you encourage people to find their why or find their motivation? Like, if it's not an obvious thing for somebody, they're not sick, they're not maybe overweight, they haven't got a game to play, you know, how do people find that why?
First of all, you got to do it for yourself. But, you know, some people feel that they don't want to, or they don't have to, or they don't need to do it for themselves. You know, find another reason, right? I mean, we all know how important health is. Health is number one, because without your health, you got nothing else, right? You can have all the money, you can have all the materialistic things, you can have everything else around you, but if your health is not good, then you're not going to enjoy none of it. So for me, I'm like, I'm taking care of myself first. So if I have other people, businesses, and all these other things that I'm doing, so I can do them, I have to feel good. Like my health has to be in check. So if you look at it that way, there's your motivation. If you got somebody, you know, you got kids, you got family, you want to be around for them. You know, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to be checking out early because you're not in shape, and that happens a lot. So if you can't do it for yourself, find that motivation in somebody or something else to get up and go and do it.
Great advice. And talking about taking care of yourself, I know that your sports career was hampered by injuries, you know, to a large degree. It was the same for me with my sports career as well. Do you have any of those injuries that have carried through it now that you have to take care of and do things a little bit differently?
Yeah, everything's maintenance for me. You know, whenever you go under the knife, when I tell anybody, whenever you go under the knife one time, your body's never the same. You always have to, you know, I still get body work once a week. I still get chiropractic, ART, active release treatment. You know, I got my Normatec, my game readies. But see, you know, it's almost like and you can probably attest to this, like when you get hurt or injured, you become very in tune with your body, like very in tune. Like before I was injured, I just thought I was Superman, like nothing can hurt me. If some hurt, I just throw some ice on it and I'm back out the next day. But it wasn't until like I had my very first big knee injury where I'm like, oh, hell, you know, now I know what scar tissue is. Now I know how to strengthen your quad. Now I know you got to have strong quads and hamstrings to keep your knee stable. Like I didn't know any of those things. And now it's become, even what I'm doing every day, it becomes a regimen for me. I go in and I work all the little muscle groups, the band work, flexibility, before I go and do any big muscle group. And I only knew that because of the injuries that I had, and say, okay, this is how you got to stabilize this in order for that to work. Yeah. And so I got really knowledgeable about my body during that time period.
Yeah. And I think that's something a lot of us can take as well, because the everyday person that has a very little time to work out, probably go from sitting like I am in a chair and right, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to get in my hour. And you've probably ended up with a bad back or knee because you're not necessarily conditioned to go from 0 to 100 and then back to your desk again. So what advice or what bits of exercise or recovery methods do you think all of us can incorporate into our workouts or our day to, you know, prehab almost for the everyday person to avoid the injuries that come with the sedentary working lifestyle for a lot of people?
For one, you have to be nimble. Like you have to flexibility and stretching, even if you don't work out that much, that should be a part of your everyday regimen. I don't care what you're doing, whether it's hot yoga, whether it's some kind of Pilates class, flexibility and stability should be number one. Because everything starts with that, right? You can protect your back, your knees, your joints, just by being flexible. That's where everything starts at. If you're feeling good there, now you want to start throwing in your cardio, throwing in your strength and conditioning stuff. You do that, but nothing starts until you're flexible and nimble.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that because, again, I think the stretching's the part that's boring for a lot of people, isn't it? It's like, oh, I don't have time to stretch. I'm just going to get in there and, you know, bit of bench press, get on the treadmill or whatever and get out there. Right. So I love that advice as well. So, you know, we've covered everything, motivation, nutrition, training, injuries, all that great stuff. And I wanted to touch on mixed martial arts and boxing because I think that's incredible training and cardio as well. And I know that you had offers, right, to do some MMA or some form of fighting when your career ended. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I started training in 2006 and I just started training because I wanted to help my hands and being more agile and more effective football player.
Right.
Because I was told that it would help me out, be a better, you know, football player. And so I just started training and I fell in love with the sport. So every offseason, I would go and pick up a little bit more. I would start doing Muay Thai. I would start doing kicks. I was, you know, after 4 or 5 years in, I started to do like grappling and jiu-jitsu and rolling and learning those things. And because for me, it was a way to still compete in something. Like I always kept doing it. Like today, I went to go get, you know, real quick. I went to go get five-minute rounds in the bag, right? And then I mixed in some weights and stuff and then some cardio.
Fantastic fitness, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the best, right? It's low impact. It's very important because, you know, me playing football since I was 10 years old, you know, you want to, when we talked about longevity, you want to be able to do this for the next 20 years. And so everything that I do now is very, very low impact and I still get the amount of work in. And MMA, boxing, jiu-jitsu, grappling, whatever that thing is, it can get you there.
And you've now got your own MMA league, Lights Out Extreme Fighting, correct?
Yeah, Lights Out Extreme Fighting. I launched it in 2019. And we're on Fubo TV. I don't know if you got the app or not, but all of our fights are on Fubo. We're looking at starting back up sometime at the end of March. And then after that, you know, we go every month. It's one thing about MMA. It's not like football, right? There's no off season. You got it's a fight a month, year round. And, you know, we'll get a month or two off and then we'll get right back to it.
It's a bit sort of leads to the question I was going to ask you sort of to sign off really was what lessons does sport teach you? Because I'm already identifying that you've taken that mindset of an athlete into your entrepreneurial ventures and putting it towards something else you're passionate about. So what does sport teach you in life? What skills can you translate to everyday life?
For me, it's discipline and well, I don't care what sport you play, it teaches you a level of discipline, how to, you know, work out every day and set your mindset and get up at a certain time, be somewhere at a certain time and consistency. It's just number one, be disciplined. Two would be just overcoming adversity, because like I said, every day you're not going to feel great. You might have some injury like I did or you did, and you have to find a way to overcome that. And you know, with those two things, I really believe you're capable of doing anything in this world, because everything starts with discipline and overcoming adversity, because you face it in some shape or form every single day. You got those two things. You can do anything in this world, in my opinion.
I 100% agree. I absolutely love that. What's next for you? What else do you want to achieve in your business and your athletic career at this point?
Well, for me, it's just really expanding the brand with Lights Out. You know, we got a great opportunity because we got some great fighters. You know, I'm going to be launching the Lights Out brand apparel back in the stores here within this year and getting that back going again. Things seem like it's kind of normal again, and retail and everything's picking back up. Also expanding the role and partnerships with different shows coming on Fubo. I produced and wrote a show and shot a pilot for about athletes transitioning from other sports into MMA.
Oh, I love
you
that.
You know, that's going to be coming out very soon. And so it's really about expanding the brand. And I, you know, for me, I'm like, I have the energy to do it. So I'm like, I might as well go ahead and do it. A lot of people don't like those 5:36 a.m. wake ups and working those 12, 13 hour days. But for me, it's like I'm doing something that's fun for me.
Yeah, you're a huge inspiration. And thank you so much for sharing all of your insights that you have today with our listeners. You know, I've really learned a lot and hope everyone really enjoys this episode. Thank you so much, Sean, for joining us here on the Health Hack Podcast.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to the Health Hack Podcast with myself, Caroline Pierce. Each episode provides a healthy dose of health hacking. So make sure to hit subscribe or follow so you don't miss out. I would be truly grateful if you could rate and review wherever you're listening to help others seeking inspiring stories and health hacks to find us. The Health Hack is an Insanity Podcast production and powered by Lumen. See you next time.